Avot, up to the third chapter, the 19th Mishnah. We're doing the Rambam's commentary, and we'll dedicate our learning tonight to Karl Chaim ben Meir Haber. His neshama should have an aliyah. Huay Almeir. We are still quoting quotes from the great Rabbi Akiva. He used to say, Hakol natun ve'irabon. Everything is given, and so to speak, there is eiravon, there is collateral, there are cosigners. Hakol natun, on the one hand, it's given in this world, but eiravon, God says, I have collateral. V'amtsuda pusar kol hachayim, and there is a trap that's spread out over life, meaning we're like, we're within a framework. What happens at the end of life? There's death. What happens after death? We're judged. So there's no escape. There's like this trap extended over all of life, because at the very end, we will be taken to task over the life we've lived. V'chanut p'tucha, and the store is open, v'chenvani makiv, and the store owner is giving credit. You want to enjoy life? God says, I give credit in my store. You could take on credit. V'pinkas p'tucha. But I write it all down. The pinkas, the notebook is open. Vayat kotevet, and the hand is writing. V'chol ha-rotze lilvot pavelove. Whoever wants to take a loan, the store owner says, you could come have a loan. V'agabain mechazrim tamid b'chol yom. And the collectors, they go around every day. V'nifrin min adam l'dato v'shelo l'dato. And they gather, they collect from a person, whether he knows it or not. V'yeshem al ma sheyismochu, they have what to rely upon. V'adin din emet, and their judgment is truth. V'akol metukan le'seuda, and everything's ready for the meal. So what are we talking about? Says the Rambam. The store owner is makif, noten bechov lezman aroch. He gives us a long-term loan. V'inotov ol alter, and he doesn't demand his pay right away. Meaning, God, so to speak, has patience. A person can do all kinds of sins and God does not react right away. U'mashal zeh baruch u'muvan, and this allegory is clear, it's understood. V'akavana b'umro v'chol ha'rotze lilvot ba v'loveh, and what he means to say, when he says, whoever wants to take a loan could come and take a loan, mechazek et ha'inyan shekadam she'en sham hechrech v'lo kfiya, ela b'rotzon ha'adam yaseh ma she'yotzeh m'pu'lotav. That, so to speak, God says, you could lead whatever life you want to lead. This is the concept of b'chira chofshit. When it says whoever wants to take a loan, it means if a person wants to owe something to God, so to speak, if a person wants to do an action which he'll end up owing, he'll end up being chayav. What does the word chet mean? Chet means he's lacking. I owe something. I'm missing something. Ultimately, I'm missing something. So we have b'chira chofshit. V'amru, so when the Mishnah says v'agabein mechazrin, and the collectors are going around, hu mashal al ha-mavet v'shar ha-onshin ha-bein la-adam, that's an allegory for death and the other punishments that come on a person. So again, the store's owner means we have the capacity to do whatever we want in this world. God says, you want to be a pious person, be a pious person. You want to be sinful, you could be sinful. You want to be harmful, you could be harmful. I give you b'chira chofshi. I've made you human beings with a capacity to do harm, to do good. You have free choice. But I want you to know I'm writing it all down. And ultimately, a person pays back. V'akol metukan la'seuda, and the conclusion of the Mishnah, everything's ready for the meal, she'tachlit kol zeh ochayei ha'olam haba, that the essence of all of this is the world to come. Meaning, don't expect that everything gets paid back now. There's a world to come. The essence of everything is still to come. Yeah, not done, I'm with you.
Does Hashem
charge interest? That's a very interesting question. Rav Harlap has the following thought. He says, when a person does an avera, a person does a sin, so he has to be punished. God loves humanity. God doesn't want to punish a person. So God is upset that he brings him to a point that he has to punish him. So now his sin is doubled because God is upset that he has to punish him. So now God has to punish him for making him upset that he has to punish him. And so on and so on and so on. So what hope do we have? that the reverse is also true. When a person does a mitzvah, so God can reward him, and God is happy that he can reward him. So if he made God happy, so that's also cyclical. That's the closest thing I could think to interest. But at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, what does that mean to me? Meaning the concept is interesting, but you know what? At the end of the day, what do we take away from that? So we could say we take away from that how valuable what we do is. Sometimes the difference between living up to what we should do and not is how much value we put on our own actions. A person sometimes feels like, what's the difference if I do this or I do that? That's one of the ways that we let ourselves get away with doing something wrong or not doing something right. And when the Mishnah, when Rav Charalab said that, so I think that's one point that we could take from that thought. Every action has a lot of weight. Okay, Mishnah Chaf. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says he's a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva's, right? He was the Nasi in Rabbi Akiva's time. Im en Torah, en derech eretz. Im en derech eretz, en Torah. He's going to give us a few things which you can't have one without the other. You don't have Torah without derech eretz. You don't have derech eretz without Torah. Im en chokhmah, en yirah. If you don't have wisdom, you don't have fear. Im en yirah, en chokhmah. If you don't have fear, you don't have wisdom. It's okay. No, to that. Imen dat en bina. If you don't have knowledge, you don't have understanding. Imen bina en dat. If you don't have understanding, you don't have knowledge. Imen kemach en Torah. If you don't have flour, if you don't have a source of sustenance, you don't have Torah. Imen Torah en kemach. If you don't have Torah, you don't have flour. Does anyone mind if we turn on the air conditioner?
What does he mean by sustenance?
Thank you.
What does he mean by sustenance?
Yeah, it means you need pansah. It goes hand in hand. Thank you. So the Rambam says, "Kavanato baze shekol echad mehem ozer lemtziut hasheni umashlim lo." What Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah means is that each one helps the other one exist. In these pairs, each one helps the other one exist and is also complementary to the other one. So the Mishnah said, Torah and Derech Eretz. Chochmah and Yira, wisdom and fear of God, awe of God. Dat and Bina, knowledge and understanding. And Kemach and Torah, food and Torah, livelihood and Torah. So each of these pairs allows the other one to exist, or helps the other one exist, and completes it. Aval dvarav bebina uvedat. But when he says you need understanding and knowledge, hinei inyan ze filosofi dak meod. This is a very fine philosophical point. V'inini mazkiro, and I'll mention it, v'somech al avanat mi shekaved shekvar lamad inyani melu, and I rely that whoever already learned and understands philosophy, he'll understand my point. I won't go into depth, really this is a point I should expand on. I'll mention it in passing, and if you really understand philosophy, you'll know what I mean to say, says the Rambam. The who and that is, שהדעה הזו הנקנית לנו ואנו רוכשים אותה, אינה אלא השגתנו את המושכלות שאנו משיגים. There is knowledge that is acquired, and that is that we can understand, there are concepts that we have the capacity to understand. When the Rambam speaks about muskalot, muskalot could mean concepts. Muskalot, we'll leave it with concepts. או בכך שאנו מבדילים את הצורה ויודעים אותה, either we understand the concepts because we can define things, we can define the shape, we can know it, או שנשיג את הצורות הנפרדות במציאותם בלי שנעשם אנחנו שכל, אלא הם במציאותם שכל, והשגה זו היא הנקראת בינה והיא הדעת, ובדעת גם נשכיל. So I'm going to try to translate the sentence. I'm not sure how to translate it, so I'll try. I'm not sure how to understand it. The Rambam says like this. One way we could understand the concept, one way we could connect with the concept, is because we discern that concept, and therefore we know it. That's understandable. But there's another way to understand the concept, And that is when the concept is on its own an intellectual concept. It's not that you can discern it. It's not that it's something that can be defined, but it's rather something which you can attain. It's a truism that you cannot define. I can tell you what I think the Rambam means, but I'm not sure if my understanding is right. Yeah. You want me to translate each word? I'll translate each word, and then I don't think you'll have a clue what the Rambam is going to say. I'll translate each word. The Rambam says, "O bekach shanu mavdilin et hatzura." Either the way we can understand things is either because we can separate the shape, viodinota, and then we know it. That's number one. Or shenasig, that we attain et hatzurot anifradot bimtziutam, the shapes that are separate in their existence, b'li shenasem anachnu sechel, without us making them into sechel, which can be understood as mind or thought, elahem b'mtziutam sechel, but rather they in their existence are thought. V'asaga zu, and this, attaining this, hi anikret bina, that's what's called bina, understanding, v'hi adat, and that is also dat, uvedat gam naskil, and with that, with knowledge, we can also get greater knowledge, v'itafshar lanu lehasig ma she'efshar lehasig, and we could attain whatever can be attained. Now do you understand?
No, it sounds like he's talking about abstract.
Oh, so I think that's what he's talking about, right. I think he's talking about abstract concepts, and there's a limited potential to how much we could understand abstract concepts. Uchilu amar im non nasig muskal en anu sechel. It's as though he would say, if you didn't understand this concept, then you have no mind. Vim lo yeh lanu sechel lo nasig muskal. And if we don't have a mind to that, then we can't attain the concept. Lefi shebasechel nasigeo, because you need the mind to attain it. So I think what the Rambam means is the capacity to understand abstract concepts. Right. I also think that's what the Rambam means. V'avanat davar zek kashe, v'afilu misfarim shenitchabru lekach, and understanding this is difficult, even when you read works that were composed just to explain this concept. V'chol sheken mikan, and certainly if you want to figure out what I'm talking about from this one paragraph, ela he'arnu alav he'ara bilvad, but I've only made a comment, says the Rambam. So if you don't understand me, well, our whole work's explaining this, and even then it's hard to understand. So certainly from my comment. Okay, so we could feel okay with ourselves that we don't understand. Ah, toda, yeah. Okay. Mishnah Chafadef. Hu haya omer. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah used to say, Kol shchokhmato merubah memaasav. Whoever's wisdom exceeds his actions, lemao dome, what is he similar to? Leilan shanafav merubin v'shorshav mu'atim. To a tree that has many branches and few roots. V'aruach ba, and a wind comes v'okarto, and uproots it v'ofachto al panav, and turns it over on its face. V'chol shemaasav merubin v'chokhmato, and whoever's actions exceed their wisdom, lemao hu dome, what is he similar to? Leilan, to a tree shanafav mu'atim, that has few branches v'shorshav merubin, and many roots. Even if all the winds in the world come and blow at him, they do not move him from its place. So this is the concept the Rambam says that we explained in the 12th Mishnah, and over there we learned that one's actions have to exceed one's wisdom, and that the way the Rambam explained it over there is that a person has to get into good habits of being a decent human being, and that is introductory to a person's wisdom. When a person is a decent human being and then he learns wisdom, so with his decent traits, then the wisdom can hone those traits and make him even better. But when a person walks in and he's barely human and he has horrible traits and he's an animal, basically, and then you start teaching him wisdom, well, then it's going to be much more difficult to take the wisdom and have the wisdom train him to be a good person, because the wisdom contradicts his nature. Meaning when a person has already made his nature, his natural tendencies decent, so then the wisdom only hones. The Torah only serves to hone what he already has. But when a person starts off being the exact opposite, so everything he learns is going to contradict what he's used to. And then it's going to be very, very difficult to him, and it's going to be less likely that he'll succeed in continuing to learn. Yeah, David.
You know, about character traits or behavior of a person, even if knowledge is here and
don't understand what's like. He's talking about the way a person is accustomed to behaving, meaning is he polite, is he kind, is he fair? Basic character traits. If a person has the basics, so then the Torah won't be difficult for him. If a person is used to being a thief, and is used to being a cheater, and is used to being a murderer, and is used to speak everything foul, he's got every bad trait, and this isn't a Jewish thing. Again, these are traits that are basic to society. If a person doesn't have all these basic traits, then the Torah is going to be very difficult for him. Now, what?
So obviously if somebody has more or less normal or even fine traits, but he doesn't behave in a way, he doesn't do things like Torah tells him to do, but you start to try to teach him these things, it's much easier.
Right, exactly, yes. It resonates with him. Yeah. It's the difference between going against a person's grain or refining a person's grain. Yes?
Something along the line. You were saying, like, a person, in order to receive that wisdom, in order to put that wisdom into action, depends on his nature. A person's nature is, like, defined by some character traits, if he's a murderer or a thief, then he can never really. Must change his nature first.
Correct.
Right, so how can you change his nature?
Well, I think that a person has to first rehabilitate himself, meaning if the Torah can be a tool in that, but he has to understand that every rehabilitation is difficult. It's going against the person's nature. It's far easier approaching Torah after rehabilitation. The Torah can be part of the rehabilitation process. A person is used to growing up in a culture of cannibals, right?
Yeah.
He comes and he hears, I got to eat kosher, I'm not allowed to eat humans, I'm not allowed to kill. You understand that this is going to be very difficult to him. What's wrong with you people? I'm used to eating people. I can't eat people. You know, he's going to walk around, he's going to have a very hard time. He shakes someone's hand and he's thinking, that feels odd. We don't think in those terms. I'm just saying, you understand the more distant a person is.
Person's way in which they behave, like we hold, we should follow Hashem's ways. But if our nature is not, like, of course I understand that we must strive to do that, but then if our nature is not in that way, then how can we ever, like, become, we can try and we can put the effort into.
We can. So you're asking an
excellent. Yeah, I believe we can. I know I can. But I want to know, like, how does a person, you know, kind of like reform his nature?
So to reform one's nature, there are a few paths. A few paths. Meaning, there are a few ways to do it.
Paths.
Let's just begin with setting an important point that the Rambam explained in his introduction to Pirkei Avot. Although every person has certain predispositions, he is not predetermined. And that's a very important difference. The Talmud tells us that there are people who have a nature to spill blood. There are people whose nature it is to want to see blood. And King David was such. And Esav was such. Esav refused to have his own circumcision. And Esav was a mass murderer. King David, he didn't get circumcised.
How can you do that 8 days old?
Well, when Esav was born, he was all red. His father thought that he might have hemophilia if he was all red. So his father waited till he was 2-3 years old. By the time his father realized that he was healthy enough to have a bris milah, Esav said, Dad, you ain't coming near me with that knife. and he didn't have a bris. Yaakov wasn't born red. A baby that's born red, he'll wait.
They said Yaakov didn't have to be circumcised, right?
Okay, that's one understanding.
Also born red?
I don't know if that could be. David was born red. David had the tendency to spill blood as well. So David went out and fought the wars of God. David did it in accordance with halacha. He didn't say, well, if my nature is to spill blood, I'll go sit in the Beis Medrash all day and I won't kill anyone. No. David dealt with blood. David, he was a warrior. David dealt with bloody medicinal aspects of a woman's delivery when a woman would miscarry. So David would deal with a bloody placenta to figure out technically was this placenta a baby or not a baby yet? Does she have the days of purity of giving birth or not? Those are pretty bloody things. David's hands were dirtied with blood. Our sages tell us a person who has a tendency to spill blood, let him be a moel, let him do circumcisions. Let him do shechita, let him slaughter animals. A person can take those tendencies and use them for the positive. In every instance, one way to deal with tendencies is to channel them. To channel them to something good.
I see what you mean here. But I didn't think that's one way.
That's one way. Right. There are a few. I think this one, though, if it encompasses murder, it can encompass anything. Just have to figure out how to do it. I mean, we had a guy in shul who was a busybody. Always wanted to know what was going on in shul. So he was known as the nudnik. I mean, everyone in shul didn't want to talk to him.
What was the term?
Nudnik.
Nudnik?
Yeah, he'd come and shake your hand and he wouldn't let go. And then he'd start talking to you, shaking your hand. This was like from when he was 9 years old. And he'd stand there shaking your hand and start asking you all kinds of personal questions like, boy, I don't want to talk to you now. I mean, imagine someone comes and shakes your hand and keeps holding and talking to you. He became a gabbai, and then it was his job to know what was going on there. When does this guy have your excitement? Does that guy? Yeah, and he was very successful. Very successful because he always remembered what was doing by everyone. This one had a baby boy, they got to get an aliyah. That one had a grandson, they got to announce that. He took that tendency and he used it for the positive. Every tendency has its niche where it can be used. Well, a schlepper, you mean as someone who carries things? Lazy. So there are tendencies which have to be overcome. I mean, that's also true. I mean, but firstly, we have to know that they can be, many things can be channeled. A lazy person can be very inventive. A person doesn't want to get up to shut the light. He could figure out 10 different ways how he could shut the light out of bed. Even that sometimes can be put to good use. So point number one we said is channeling. Point number two is a person can modify who he is. There's a famous story. It shows up in external sources. It shows up in Chazal as well, about a king who was in the desert, and everyone had heard what a wonderful, kind person he was. So this king, we'll call him Mr. X. Okay, Mr. X is with his tribes in the desert, and another king in a far off country wants to see who this king is. So he sends out his painters and sculptors. And he tells them, bring me back a picture of Mr. X. So his painters and sculptors go out to the desert, they paint the picture, they draw, they make a sculpt, they come back, and he looks at it, he brings in his wise men and tells them, tell me, what can you tell me about this sculptor and this painting? So they tell him, The wise men stand and they look, and they tell him, this person is a thief and a murderer, and we would stay away from this person, this is a terrible person. So the king says, gee, someone here's tricking me. I know Mr. X, this king, he's a fine person. So either my painters and sculptors decided to play a game on me. They painted and sculpted someone else. Or else my wise men are worthless. How do I know who's lying? I'll go out and see myself. So he travels out to the desert. He comes to Mr. X. He sees the king. He sees his painters and sculptors did a fine job. He says, must be my wise men are worthless. He's about to turn around and leave when Mr. X sees him. So he calls him. He says, what'd you come for? So he says, he tells them the whole story. So he tells him, no, your wise men are right. My natural tendencies are to be cruel, to be a murderer, to be a thief. I've overcome all of those tendencies. If I were naturally so kind the way I am today, then you'd say, that's my nature. No, I wasn't born that way. I was born with different tendencies. I overcame those tendencies. This story needs a lot of work. There's a lot to discuss. Meaning, the Rambam in his introduction to Pirkei Avos says, we do not admire a person who is born with a tendency to be a murderer but overcomes it. When it comes to midot, the traits that are humanistic, that society usually demands of a person, those traits we say a better person is born with good traits. Meaning if a person says, I don't want to eat pork, I have no desire to eat meat with milk, I couldn't care less for eating a non-kosher meat, we tell them there's something wrong with you. A normal person wants to eat it, and he says, the Torah told me not to do it, so I don't. But if a person says, I don't want to murder, I don't want to steal, we say, great, you're a good person. That's the way you should be. When it comes to things that are normal in society, we admire someone who naturally wants to conform to the social norms which are good for society. But every person can overcome. Every person can control themselves. Just like a drug addict can eventually overcome his addiction, and so too a person who is a thief can overcome his tendency to be a thief. Sometimes we say, when metal is bent one way, in order to get it the other way, you've got to bend to the opposite extreme, and then you'll get to the middle. So sometimes we say, if you cannot channel it, so then you got to go to the opposite extreme. Be meticulous about not stealing. A person who pushes himself to the opposite extreme for a few years will ultimately hit the middle ground. Now, how do you get there? Sometimes we're so far from the good trait that it's just foreign to us. You talk to the average person about being modest, and he can hear about it, but it's not something very real for him. The best way to learn a trait is to be around someone who has it. And then fake it. Fake it. And this is quoted in the Rambam, it's quoted in many Rishonim. Behave as though you have that trait. And eventually it'll be real. Meaning begin externally. Begin with the behavior as though you have that trait. Wait, let's just illustrate that. So a person is impatient, and his roommate or his wife or someone really ticks him off. He's ready to grab their neck. He's ready to go for the jugular. And instead he's, what'd you say? He's pretending, right. He's pretending. But you understand that in pretending, he's actually enacting, he's practicing. Right. And then slowly, that becomes his second nature. So, the second point.
Anything the person would ever get worn out from doing that? Like, if you pretend to be someone after a while.
I didn't say pretend to be him. I said pretend that you have that trait.
Okay, you pretend to take on his, like, way from that trait. You don't become eventually, come on, this is not me, like, be exhausted from.
If you want to be there, then I think slowly but surely you'll be happy that it does become you. I don't think so.
You think you're practicing?
It's practice. I'm practicing. I'm behaving as though it were him. I once was studying by a rabbi who never lost his cool. And the nice thing about being around people who are who have good traits is that sometimes it wears off and you don't even notice it. Meaning I always look for chavrutot. There are two types of chavrutot I look for. One who I could learn well with, and sometimes I look for a chavruta who I feel like he has a trait that I don't have or that I want to strengthen. And if I'll be in close proximity to him, then it'll rub off on me. And I found that works, for sure. So when I was learning by this rabbi, I naturally started to be a lot cooler. Like, things didn't faze me. Halvai, it would stick. But back then, things didn't faze me. So I'm walking down the street once, and I'm walking by a building. And I didn't know it, but there was a mugger standing at the side of the building. So I'm lugging along a thing like that with a laptop. I don't think it was a laptop then. I had my notes. But it looked like a laptop case. So I'm walking around carrying it. And as I walk by, it's the early evening. This guy walks out from the shadows, tries to grab my bag, and he says a threat to me. And I was in this notion of like, cool, nothing fazes me. I just kept walking. And he lost his grip on the bag, and I'm just walking. And I'm like 10 steps ahead, and I turn around, and I look at him, and say, you wanted something? And I didn't lose my cool, because I was just in that state of mind, where you don't lose your cool. And he's like, huh? He was ready to draw a knife. He was ready to do something, and I'm already 10 steps past him. And I'm not even fazed that someone tried to grab my bag out of my hand. It's a state of mind. I haven't been able to maintain it, since I'm not studying by him. But I was amazed then to see how it rubbed off. I wasn't even working on that then. But I was with this rabbi so much that traits rub off. Now, I just want to mention one more point. The Baalei Mussar say, this
you, just you said that was when you were studying, when you were around this rabbi.
Right.
And you said
it didn't last. I wasn't working on it. I recognized it's a positive thing.
So if you leave it for a while, you're saying it can rub off.
Right. So
how do you make it
part? Well, you work on it. I never worked on this. This was something that just was a byproduct. The Baalei Mussar say that a person should know that a trait that he is weak on, that trait is a trait that he could be the strongest on.
Yeah.
Meaning, if a person has a tendency for anger, if he overcomes it, then he could master anger. He could be even stronger than anyone else in anger. And that's an important point. It's an encouraging point. And when we put it together with the other two points, then it gives a lot of strength and a lot of guidance. So I think those are two practical ways to deal with things. I think the second one is very important, because at the end of the day, one does have to control oneself. And usually we don't even know how to begin. Maybe I would add one more point. A person has to be prepared that we don't grow in a day. It takes time. And so sometimes the way to acquire a trait is with steps. So let's say a person is trying to control his anger. Okay? So something happens, he gets upset, he starts yelling. Now, what usually happens is there's a split second, and the question is when that split second occurs, when a person realizes, I'm messing up. This isn't what I want to be doing. At that moment, the person has a choice. He can stop, and then he'll feel foolish. He could stop mid-sentence, but then it's an issue of pride. Or he could keep going. Most people keep going, and they say, okay, I messed up that one. I'm not stopping. You have to know that if you stop, you've taken the first step in correcting that trait. Because the next time, you're going to realize it a split second earlier and earlier and earlier until you can control it before it even comes out. So the key is not to be embarrassed. To stop and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be talking this way. I'm upset, let's talk later. And a person shouldn't be embarrassed by it. That's the key. To realize, it's not that I've fallen. It's that I'm about to take the first step in conquering this trait. By correcting it. And then we can slowly move forward. Fair?
Yeah.
Okay. Lailatul.